Hello, everyone. Welcome to 48 Hour Heroes Origin Stories. I'm your host, Kirk Nordenstrom, co-producer of the Seattle and Montana 48 Hour Film Projects. And today we have a long overdue guest, someone that I talk to on a nearly daily basis, but for some reason the last couple of weeks we just could not get our schedules to sync up. So today I am talking with my co-producer and 48 Hour partner in crime, Chris Flink. So please welcome Chris Flink.
So it really doesn't matter what you look like, say or do. I know that I had a cooler weekend than you.
All right, welcome to episode 16 of 48 Hour Heroes Origin Stories. And I have a long overdue featured guest today, but for some reason we just couldn't get our schedules lined up until right now. I'd like to introduce you all to Chris Flink, my co-city producer for Seattle and the Montana 48 Hour Film Projects. Here's a long overdue welcome, Chris. Hi.
Hi, hello. How are you?
I've got a cold or something, and it's...
Well, that's depressing right off the bat.
Well, yeah, you like to start with the expectations low.
Can so only go low. Up from here.
Exactly. So, yeah, where to begin? 6 years ago, you and I were in Norway at this point.
Yes, we were.
Facebook is kind enough to remind me.
Yes.
And, well, let's just get right to it. How did you and I meet?
We met at Freehold Theater at the, we were both taking, I had just finished up with the directing for stage and screen course at the University of Washington. And I decided to further that with a advanced course for directors at Freehold Theater. They had an advanced filmmaking course, and that's where you and I met.
And we heard gap, 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 gap for like 3 months. Gap, gap, gap.
True. So true. So true.
So for a little context, The Gap, one of our teachers in this class, John Jacobson.
Hey, John, if you're listening.
Hi, John. John is a diehard Storycraft person. And one of his bits of advice when writing is to always gap the audience, which is the difference between expectation and outcome. He'll be so happy I remember that verbatim.
See, look at that. You learned one thing.
I learned one thing. Well, that and that I hate the play Head of Gabler.
What? No.
I have a hard time with like 19th century Scandinavian sensibilities, I guess.
Is that even a thing?
Yeah, they were very proper. And
I know. I'm just kidding.
Anyway. Yeah, so that's The Gap. You always want to keep people on their toes by giving them something unexpected but plausible. And I mean, that was a great class. That was a great class. I learned a lot in that. Yeah, you and I were always fighting over one actor.
Yes.
I never got to work with him.
And I always got to work with him. You know why? Because I'm a girl. No, I'm kidding. And girls rock.
You're just pushier than I am.
And we shall bring that person's name to light. That would be Gene Torkeldsen.
The mighty, mighty Gene Torkeldsen, who we were in Norway with 6 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, after that class, you were one of the few in the class that I was like, I can legitimately work with this person. Because I could see that you were aiming towards really learning the craft and developing a career out of it rather than it being... you know, a late in life hobby switch or something. You really wanted to learn it. And
right.
You know, we clicked socially and I think professionally, and, you know, I wanted to work with you more and more in the future in this industry. Right. So luckily that's how it's played out.
Right. Exactly. An unexpected way that it played out, but it played out nevertheless. Yeah. It was, that was definitely a thing because, you know, I that's a good way to put it, because I had spent so many years in theater, you know, mm-hmm. and I had, you know, ended up directing more than I thought and producing more than I thought. And because I originally started as an actor, and I really enjoyed the craft of that as well, because it is a craft unto itself, mm-hmm. producing. And I decided that I needed to learn a little bit more about film because I wanted to do film and theater. So, which is why I took, you know, the University of Washington course, which covered both, which was also taught by John Jacobson and Allison Narver, amazing, amazing woman. And I just sort of thought I learned a lot more about theater as well in the UW course. And that's why I ended up at Freehold, because I wanted to focus on the advanced intensive of film and being a better director and learning, you know, being better at working with actors, because I love, 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 love working with actors. It is just my absolute favorite thing of anything on the planet. I love working with them. I love seeing their work, and I love seeing the final fruits of their labor. Of all things of directing, that is my favorite thing. So I just, you know, thought I should start making this leap. So it's kind of slowly how it's been. And then you and I met, and then cut to, you know, I know that you had had some people helping you with the 48 prior, but nothing had ever really panned out. And
yeah, it was just never
48 was growing. And yeah, I mean, you needed an attention to detail person. And I guess that was me, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm embarrassed that it took me 4 years to realize that I should have, you know, asked you a couple of years earlier.
Hey, everything happens for a reason when it happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And well, I mean, that reason being, you know, the catalyst really for me to formally ask you to co-produce rather than just help out at kickoff and drop off, which you'd been doing. And right. That's always you. Now, you know how much I appreciated it.
Yes, after absolutely. A couple years
of doing that.
Yeah.
You really, you can firsthand understand how much I appreciate it. And it was, yeah, November 2017. And I got a call from my brother on a Sunday night. And when my brother calls, chances are it's not good news. My family's terrible at keeping in touch. And he said, get out to Missoula now, because mom's not doing well.
Right.
And I tried to get out that night, but it was 4 p.m. on a Sunday, so that wasn't happening. And when it looked like the worst was going to happen, I called you and said, hey, if I need to stay in Montana longer than expected, can you run the horror awards for me? And I'll never forget, we met up at the Carco Theater parking lot.
Right.
It looked like the whitest, most middle-aged, lame drug deal
was going down.
Yeah.
We both drove up. We both opened our trunks.
Me in a Prius and you in an SUV. And
you were like, here's all the files.
Yeah. Let's give you a hard drive with 13 films on it.
Shoving bins and bags in my back, you know, the back of my car. No, I'm kidding. No, not that. It was like, yep.
Yeah.
We can do. Don't worry about it. I think I remember saying, don't worry about it. I got you covered.
And I didn't. That's the amazing thing. I mean, I got anxious, of course, because I'd never missed anything before. And you know, this has been my baby for so long that...
How long? Let's put that out there.
This will be my 18th year.
There you go.
Started in 2005. This will be year 18.
Right.
And the night came when the event happened, and I was watching social media pretty intently, not out of concern, right, but more out of curiosity. And people just immediately started posting, you know, had a great time. Chris did a great job. And I was like, she needs to be my co-producer. What the fuck have I been waiting for?
Well, that's where, you know, running in awards and emceeing something, just getting thrown in. That's where my acting and my intensive improv.
You yes-ended the fuck out of that situation.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, it was like, okay, we're hosting this now. All right. So yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was great. And everybody was, you know, really welcoming, and everybody was really understanding, and it actually went off without a hitch, luckily. So, and there you go. And then you asked me, I don't remember how long it was after that, but not very long after that.
Not very long.
Officially.
Kind of once I came out of my self-imposed exile.
Right.
You know, mom died. I was obviously very depressed. And,
right.
But not long after I kind of came out of my shell. Like, we got to make this happen.
Yep.
And
there you go, boys and girls.
And that everyone lived happily ever after.
That is the story of how Kirk and Chris met. Lived happily ever after as city producers. By the way, on the website, it still says associate producer, so we probably need to change that.
We'll get that. We'll get that.
Noticed that yesterday. Sidebar.
Yeah, so Filmapalooza was last week, and everyone says hi, and you were very,
I missed everyone so much, but, you know, work kept me here, and, you know, 2 years out of the pandemic, you gotta work when you can. Yeah,
exactly.
I wish I could have been there. I was bummed. I had a serious case of FOMO. I was looking at all the pictures a few times. There's a few tears. It's like, oh man, I want to be there. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, it was. I've skipped a couple because I had work. But now that I'm so deep into it, I can't imagine skipping one now.
Right.
Especially since, so I just talked to Wouter yesterday.
Right.
So his episode will come out tomorrow's the 18th. Yeah, it'll come out tomorrow, March 18th.
Right.
And
for those of you listening that don't know who Wouter is.
Wouter is the technical director for the 48 Hour Film Project and the co-producer of the Eindhoven and Arnhem 48 Hour Film Project in the Netherlands. And we all refer to him as Wouter the Wizard. He's
he's amazing.
Yeah, he's technologically, he's bringing us into the 21st century in a big way. And Indra and I worked with him for months, you know, getting the DCPs ready, getting the awards show ready, and getting all the media ready for Filma. And so my flight out there was Seattle to Detroit, Detroit to Reagan National Airport. And I took a red eye, and it's a 4-hour flight, Seattle to Detroit. And I fell asleep for a little bit, and then I woke up and I see all these texts, and there's no coffee shops open at 6:30 in the Detroit airport, apparently, which
rude
blasphemy.
Don't they know where you're from, Seattle? Well, there should there not be a coffee shop open at 4 a.m.?
Well, Salt Lake City the other night, home of the Mormons, has Starbucks and a bar open at almost 11. I don't get it.
That is irony at its finest.
Hey, you know, they want to make money. Can't blame them. So I kind of get my eyes peeled open and get my bearings and find out that my flight's going to be delayed. And I got on my flight and then we had to get off because there was something wrong with the plane. That's what it was.
In Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So I start checking my text messages. Wouter tested positive at the airport. I just immediately text Wouter, isn't it a little early for an April Fool's joke?
Right. Like a month.
Of all the people.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Like, if I had caught COVID and couldn't go, it would have been a minor inconvenience. A couple of people would have had to pick up a little bit of slack. But Wouter was
the wizard in charge of all.
Yeah. Right. And everyone is scrambling to figure out how we were going to do the live stream and just all this technical stuff. And, you know, Indra is bawling her eyes out. I can hear her crying through the text she's sending me from her plane.
Right.
And I mean, it was just crazy, but everyone really stepped up and pulled through. And it was a very successful event as a result of it, but Wouter did not get to see the fruits of his labor. It was really a shame.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than working your ass off on something and then just, you know, sitting in your apartment with COVID going, yay.
And I figured he never left his house. He was just always in that little blue room.
Right. We have him locked in a technical box doing nothing but sitting on a computer. No input, has his food delivered.
Yeah, yeah.
His shower's in his office. He never leaves.
He says, you know, he'd go visit some family members and go to the store, and that was it. And he apparently just stumbled across someone who had Omicron.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it was a spreader. I mean, I got it, you know, fully vaccinated, still got it, you know. Yeah. It's only sick for a few days, but comparatively to what it was previous. But yeah, it's just, it spread really easily. So I guess just one of those things, and they're a little bit behind us. So
yeah, it was so crazy, but I mean, it was a good event and a little less attended than previous years for obvious reasons.
Right.
There are people still a little hesitant about travel and can't blame them for that. But it was great. I mean, Seattle showed up in force.
I know. So excited that all of our peeps were there.
Yeah, I mean, Lightform, they showed up with a small army. And I was so happy that Rishi came.
Right.
He hung out with them the whole time and did everything. I'm so glad that Rishi got to come and experience a Filmapalooza because he got robbed last year.
Yeah.
Rishi Raj is the 2020 winner of the Seattle 48 Hour Film Project. And yeah, he got majorly fucked on the on Filmapalooza.
Right. I mean, sure, we had it virtually and we did a hell of a job with 20 plus workshops, sidebar. but it was an interesting time.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that we decided to pay his registration fee to go. It meant a lot to him and he had a great time and got a lot out of it, even though his film wasn't playing. So
that's good.
Yeah, that made me really, really happy. But yeah, next year, LA.
That's you heard it right here if you haven't already announced it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
Los Angeles, Filmapalooza. Going to be crazy. All the crazy Europeans are going to fly to Seattle and we're all going to road trip, apparently.
Well, okay. So here's
who's coming.
Okay. So Olivier's son is going to be going to school in Vancouver.
Ah. Okay.
So Olivier was going to fly into Vancouver to visit his son. And then I said, well, I'll come pick you up and, we can both fly out of Seattle together. And then I kind of paused and went, no, screw that. We're going to drive down to LA together. Road trip. And for those of you unfamiliar who haven't seen the previous episodes, Olivier Dussos is the mastermind behind all of the French 48 hour film projects and just one of my favorite people on the planet. And then, I turned to Indra and said, all right, next year, you and Outer fly into Seattle and we'll road trip down. And then I immediately texted you. Indra's texting Wouter. And I'm texting you, and within seconds, you both literally texted either of us.
I'm in!
Exclamation point. So they'll fly into Seattle, and then we'll have pizza at my place, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
In the outdoor oven that your wife has so fabulously designed and made.
Yes. And then I figure we'll drive down to Portland, show them, Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah.
And just make a quick little Portlandy stop, show them some of the weird that Portland has to offer.
Right.
And then maybe make it down to Ashland, spend the night in Ashland.
Yeah.
Going to San Francisco.
Yeah. Yep.
And
it's a good road trip.
Yeah. And since we're heading that way, we'll have to stop at Santa Cruz to get some of my favorite coffee in the whole world and stop at one of my favorite burrito places.
Oh, that's Trejo's. Never mind. That's not.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to eat every meal at Trejo's when we get to LA.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun road trip. I don't know if we might have to rent a bigger car.
Well, I'm figuring
drive.
Yeah. We'll take two vehicles and it'll be manageable.
Yeah. So anyways, as we're planning out our trip while everyone's listening, but that should be really fun. Yeah. I guess what you can get from this is that city producers become family.
Yeah.
And, with everything going on with the war right now and everything, it's like you're able to see different perspectives from people and what.
Oh, yeah.
It's just been, I would have never had, if it wasn't for the 48, I wouldn't know David, who's in Prague, in Brno, and would never get a perspective of what they're going through. It's just so many things of meeting all these wonderful, amazing, talented filmmakers that are city producers in the 48 family. It's just phenomenal. So it's, again, you apply that whole thing to the filmmakers coming to Filmapalooza themselves and meeting filmmakers from around the world and collaborating. And when you go and need to make a film in, the Netherlands, you know who to call, right? Or whatnot. So it's just such a great opportunity to meet and get networking and work opportunities and, all of that. So I just think it's just when you get older, you don't make friends as easily. I mean, like they always say that people just sort of get their circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller. you know, and, you know, as I've gotten older and gotten involved in stuff like this, the circle just seems to be getting bigger and bigger, which is an interesting concept.
And the quality of the people you're meeting is amazing.
Exactly.
And it was interesting in film of this year having access to so many Europeans.
Right.
Because they have a much more nuanced opinion and outlook on the war in Ukraine.
Right.
Whereas in America, we don't need to get into it, but it's so much more binary here.
Yeah.
And just talking to, especially with David and his mom, Vera was there, of course, and they brought their puppy with them and their 12-year-old puppy.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just get a much bigger picture of what's going on. And it helped lessen my anxiety somewhat, just being able to have a more nuanced conversation about what's going on than generally what you can have here.
Right.
Which is nice.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. So I want to ask you a little bit more about Filmapalooza. So let's see here. 2019, you didn't go with me to Orlando.
No, I did not.
Yeah, I was busy with work. But you hit the really good one.
I did.
So you got to go to, well, the last in-person one before this one in Rotterdam.
Right.
Describe your overall impression of the event. Because, I mean, you really did go to kind of an epic Filmapalooza for your first experience.
Right. Definitely. And the two stooges, as I like to refer to them, and Jasper. I mean, they put together such an amazing Filma. They worked really hard. You could tell the fruits of their labor. Not only was I so impressed with the city, because Rotterdam is just, you know,
gorgeous.
There's Amsterdam and then there's Rotterdam, and they are both amazing in their different old school versus new modern technology. Rotterdam is the most interesting modern city, and it's just beautiful, and everything was on the waterfront. And
great bridges.
Yeah. And just phenomenal architecture that was just stunning, right? And I was just so impressed with the theater and how everything was run and all of the, it was like being a part of something really epic. And then, of course, the award ceremony, which was on what was the name of the boat? I can't remember.
It was the SS Rotterdam.
SS Rotterdam, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you had a huge full-size theater that fit everybody with a boat that's docked in the harbor that you go onto. It's and have your awards.
Yeah, we had a very boat-related week. Boat-themed week that week.
We did. Yeah, it was just amazing. I'm so glad that this is the first one that I picked to go to. Although, you know, then the bar gets raised pretty high as far as you know, if and when it comes back to Seattle, I'm already.
We're a lesser priority right now.
I know, absolutely. But, you know, you just think about the bar was set really high. It was really well organized. It was a great way to, you know, you do a little work as a CP volunteering to help out. And it was really great way to meet other filmmakers. And just to see, it was really my first experience seeing all of the different films from around the world. You know, I tried to spend as much time as I could going in and watching the films. And it was just blown away. Was just absolutely blown away. And I think that's one of the most important things, in my opinion, of Filmapalooza, for a filmmaker's perspective to go, if you have a film in it and you're trying to support your film, but even if you don't have a film in it, to go and see the types of amazing things that other countries and other cities and other countries can do in 48 hours.
Yeah,
and it makes you want to be a better filmmaker. It should. I hope it inspired our Seattle.
Oh, you know the Sewanchotes. They soaked it in. And
oh, totally.
Oh, crap. This is, and I hate using the word the competition, but it's the stage that everyone's playing on.
Right.
And just seeing how.
What it takes to get to Cannes, really.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like those fucking French and those fucking Dutch, you know.
You know, now it's those British and those South Africans.
Right.
Two of my favorites this year were the Cape Town film Dissonance was amazing. And The London film, The Last Union, was also incredible.
I haven't had a chance to sit down and really watch any of them, and I can't wait because I've seen who everybody won, but I can't wait to see.
Yeah, we'll
see
have a pizza party night with
perfect
Brian and Lida. You can bring Lane over.
That'd be great.
We'll
yeah.
just screen them out in the back.
Perfect.
Because yeah. I mean, The Last Union, there's this woman who plays a vicar, and I need to know everything that she's working in now. She's such an amazing actor. I believed every word. And as Indra said, if she was the new Doctor Who, I would be so in favor of it. So many good films. And of course, again, the Dutch and the French.
Yeah, always do a good job. That's for yeah. sure.
Well, the Dutch won this year. The Rotterdam team won with their film Muse.
Right. I saw that, which is yeah. awesome.
It was beautiful cinematography. And Luke, the cinematographer, definitely deserved his award. And the Eindhoven team with their film Quarterlife Cruisers, I loved that one as well. They got best editing and just amazing films. Amazing films. Yeah.
Sounds like you're the actress, the person that you thought won that kind of reminds me of now you want to see everything that person is. Kind of reminds me of when we went to the Rotterdam Filmapalooza and I was impressed with Sarah Grant.
Yeah. Oh,
she
got a standing ovation when she got her award. And
yeah, she was and is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
She is. For those of you who have not looked into Sarah Grant and Sarah Grant Creative, which is her, she's in Glasgow. And she writes for the BBC now, and she is
brilliant, absolutely
phenomenal.
Brilliant.
She's a brilliant writer. She is hilarious. She is
great performer,
edgy, beautiful yeah. actress. All things. I was impressed so much so that I wanted her to be a part of our filmmakers. You know, how to write yeah. for the 48 panel that we did virtually for yeah. 2020. So you never know when you've got something entered into a contest like Filma and someone sees you and you're a fit for something and there you go. You just yeah. never know what's going to happen. I mean, that's yeah. what's so cool about it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Where else can you make a film with your friends in 48 hours and end up at the Cannes Film Festival and
with an actual screening and not just yeah. going there yeah. to hype your film? Like,
yeah, totally.
So many people have to do.
Right.
But an actual screening.
Right.
That's huge.
And I think that's what's so cool about it and probably why I'm still here with you, you know, is that I just think that it's so much fun to bring the filmmakers, you know, watch them grow like the Sawan Chopes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to their first ever win this
and
year.
And Destination Weird, another one of my favorites.
How much do I love those weirdos?
Exactly.
Those quirky weirdos. I'm like, when I see him signed up, I'm like, yes.
Exactly.
You never know what kind of crazy shit they're going to do.
Exactly. Well, it's okay. So let's talk about the Seattle and the Montana 48.
Yes.
I know when I asked you to come on board, I really wanted you not as an assistant. I wanted you to right. feel that this was, you know, 50% yours.
Right.
And I hope I've conveyed it that way to you.
Yeah. I mean, there was a learning curve for a little yeah. while, but you know, I feel like I don't have 18 years worth of knowledge about it yet. And
yeah, just four.
When it comes when it comes to the technical part of it, I mean, like I know a lot more now just from knowing you and just from being part of the competition.
And you have your questions. I've heard your pat answers to certain questions.
Yep.
Those. Very good at those.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just like anything else. It's just that learning thing. But I do. I feel like I think it's still, I think when the Seattle filmmakers look at it though, they're still, it was you for so long that it's still you. But I think that they like me.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Definitely.
And I think that, you know, they get it, but, you know, it's just time and working on it that has gotten us to this.
You'll wear them down eventually.
I'll wear them out. They'll learn to like me or else. Yeah, I'm the comic relief in this, you know. When Kurt starts talking for a really long time and keep reading off of his phone, then I'll just chime in with a joke. No, I'm kidding. It's it's a give and take. I mean, I think we're working our way through how this all works, doing it together. But what's been really cool is that I think it's, you know, not that I want to say yay for the pandemic, because I don't want to say that, because it's been awful on so many levels, but
fuck the pandemic.
I know. Fuck you, you fucking fuck. But also what it has done was given us the opportunity, which I think we've both done this together and grown together really well with it, is learning how to write grants and learning how to getting the opportunity to actually apply for grants through things that were opportunities we didn't have before with the 48. Because one of the things that we had always talked about when I came on board is that, you know, I know you wanted to grow the competition. Mm. In order to grow the competition, there's so many people that want to be a part of it, but can't perhaps afford the registration fee, you know, and how can we reach those communities that can't afford it? And when we started getting the opportunities to apply for the grants, I was like, and I know at first you were like, oh, it's just so difficult. And there was a couple that were just really hard. But then Four Cultures Grant opened up for the pandemic relief. And I know I was a little pushy. I was like, we need to do this, you know, and you were like,
That's what I needed.
And we applied for it and we got it, which allowed us to offer registration subsidies for people who couldn't afford it. And, you know, we've been allowed to be able to continue that, and we'll be able to do that this year because of another grant.
This year we have 10 pre-purchased registrations. Yeah,
we've already pre-purchased exactly 10 registrations from a grant that we got, so that we, you know, people who can't afford it and apply for it, who've never been able to be in the competition, can do it, which is amazing. And how can we help? That's how we helped. And so I think the only good thing that's come out of the pandemic, because everything shut down pretty much for getting together, was the grants that we got, and also just realizing how important it is for all the filmmakers to support each other and be at screenings live and in person and applaud each other and get to talk about their process. It's so difficult to do it online.
Yeah. Well, and it's so great, because when I was functionally doing it by myself, a lot of the goals that you and I have been able to actively pursue were always on my mind, but I was so overwhelmed with just
getting it done
happen, that, you know, it grew kind of despite me.
Right.
So it was really great when you came in and our goals, they really lined up.
Right.
And that we wanted to grow the competition, but while growing it, increase the level of representation among underserved and underrepresented communities.
Exactly.
And yeah, working on the grants, that was, you know, that's always tough for me, because, you know, when you're writing the grants, you know that they're expecting a certain language and a certain point of view. And I get really, as you've seen, I get really cynical about that.
Right.
And you have been really good at reining me in. And kind of telling me to shut the fuck up from time to time. And, you know, the collaboration on writing all of that has been very productive and very positive.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, you know, you write something and I'm looking at it and editing it, and I write something, you're looking at it and editing. I mean, I think that we work really well together.
We put together a nice Frankenstein's monster, basically.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. And so then you start the one and you have the basis, and then you just have to learn, you know, the language. So it's been an interesting process. I'd always wanted to learn how to be a grant writer, and I guess we just got a crash course. Well, to Arts Washington and to Four Cultures credit, they had really supported staff and were great coaches, and really spent the time talking about teaching us how to put in a package what we already do with the right language. Because it's like, we already are doing all the things that they were looking for to get these grants, but we just had to learn how to write the right language. And every grant, and what, depending on where it was coming from, was looking for something a little bit different. So it's been interesting to be able to
Arts Washington and Four Culture, they were so supportive and great coaches.
Right.
So that when... you know, huge shout out to Linnea and Brett for helping us, that when that King County grant came around, we didn't really need any coaching.
I know. We were just like, done.
Like, which of these do we need? And, you know, I love that you could start the form and I'd finish it, or I'd start right. it and you fill in right. the gaps, and it you know, it worked really well. And we do have this kind of evergreen body of prose that we can call on.
Right.
At this point, I'm not cynical about it. I read it and I feel good about it.
Oh, so that's a major accomplishment then.
Yeah. And that's right. you know, we got to that point together. Yeah. I'm really proud of both of us for doing that.
Agreed. It was definitely a challenge. Yeah. Pat in the back here. For those of you that can't see, we're both patting our backs. No. Yeah. I mean, I think that it was always something that I think you had to overcome something about, and I had to overcome something about. Mm-hmm. So it's cool that we got that together, and it just gives opportunities for other filmmakers, which is all we really, really want out of this is, you know.
The night after karaoke, I was hanging out with the Sawanchotes. And they just kept buying drinks. And I love those wacky Sawanchotes. They are so much fun and such fantastic people and fantastic filmmakers. And I remember Nuke, or it was either Note or Nuke. There was booze involved.
It all became rock at the end. Nork, whatever, whoever you are.
No, I believe his note. He asked, you know, what do you want to see from us? And the only thing I could say was, I don't expect anything of you. I want you to participate and grow in the manner, you know, in which you're going to grow. You know, right. the trajectory that you're taking, that you're choosing, I want you to do that. What I want and what I know Chris wants is we want it to be larger. We want it yes. to be more inclusive.
Yes.
More representative of what the actual filmmaking landscape is. In Washington and in yeah. Montana. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. I want yeah. more people to participate and more opportunities for people to participate.
Right.
And they just looked at me like, oh, that's awesome.
Right. I mean, what more could you want? It's such yeah. a reward to see the progress of teams that come back each year and use us as a, you know, a training ground. I mean, yeah. that's what we want, and it's so amazing to see that happen and to see how the filmmaking teams that come back every year, some of them, you know, are really hardcore, and some of them just do it for fun every year because mm-hmm. opportunity to get together with their friends because they work professionally and corporate stuff and, you know, whatever. I mean, the gamut runs long and wide with the different scenarios, but just to see everybody, you know, kind of come to an even playing field and see how people make it work with what they have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all super cool. And I just love seeing them improve. And I love watching the actors that yeah. are in films and their improvement over time and how directors become better directors. I'm just so passionate about directors getting experience and becoming better and learning yeah. how to work with their DP instead of against their DP, yeah. you know, team and, you know, all of those things. It's just so fun to see. So, you know, we had a lot of goals before the pandemic hit about how we wanted to see this grow. And hopefully this is the start of how we want to reach all the corners of the state, and in Montana, reaching all the corners of the state for the Montana, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about in a second. But I'm excited that we're finally back. I think the other good thing, as I digress back to something good that came out of the pandemic, because hardly anything did, is the drop off now
yeah.
being completely automated, so that we're not. I mean, there was something to be said for, you know, the countdown out in the street at the yeah. restaurant where you're going 10, 9, 8, and people are pulling up in their cars and trying to get there and get in line in time. There's something to be said for the excitement of that.
Yeah.
But I think it also is a huge relief for the filmmakers and gives them an opportunity to make their product a little bit better by having all that time to edit it
and not risk their lives.
Totally. Especially, I mean, how bad is traffic? You know, I mean, yeah, how long exactly. does it take people to get places? So hard. What I think a lot of the filmmakers don't understand. Everybody always had a complaint about the venue that we chose. And why didn't you do something
here? We could never get it right.
Why didn't you choose something here? Why is the drop off here? It's like,
can it be in my backyard?
Yeah. Why is the drop off not at my house, man? I could just roll out of bed and hand it to you. Can't you make it that easy for me?
We could never get it right. We could never please. You know, a quarter of anyone.
Right.
Why'd you have to do it on Capitol Hill? Yeah. Why'd you have yeah. to do it on Lower Queen Anne?
Because the venues allowed us to do it for free, everybody. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of money involved in putting this stuff on.
We always choose places that have, you know, food and drink available.
Right. Have a beer afterwards.
Exactly. Because that's what you need when you're sleep deprived. Beer.
Okay. Beer. Maybe a shot. Maybe a bunch of sugar and a bunch of pizza to make you just really fall asleep in your beer after you're done. But yeah, I mean, I will miss that part of it, but I also think that we'll just allow more filmmakers across the board to be able to participate because.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've done the live stream.
Yeah.
The last couple of events of the turn in. And I think with places opening up more and more, you know, we'll just go back to solo.
Yeah.
And if people want to come by and say hi, they can. That'd be absolutely great. But in so many ways, the digital drop-off is amazing. Wouter's implementation of it with the checksum so that even if your upload is late, having the checksum done, it was a stroke of genius. And
agreed.
And well, to be fair, the Four Points has been doing it that way for a long time, but Wouter has integrated it into Cinema 48. So it's all in one place and not there's no third-party stuff involved. So that's great. But you know, this technology, again, allowed us to rethink the Missoula 48.
Exactly.
That just got, it was a tiny little flower that just got chopped.
Exactly. We've told the story a few times to people, and I think the people in the filmmakers in Montana that we've met and worked with kind of know how it all came to be. But, you know, I'm originally from Missoula. Yeah. And grew up there, born and raised, and, you know, moved to Seattle to go to school in 1987 and never came back to Montana as far as didn't ever move back there because, hey, I was in the big city. I was going to make something of myself in the big city, put on my cowboy boots and my hat and made something of myself.
Hit on Chris Cornell.
I mean, it was grunge, baby. It was like dance. It was Nirvana. It was Pearl Jam. Yeah.
So jealous of that.
Yeah. Oh, I lived it. Saw everybody live. Mudhoney. And oh, yeah. Don't even get me started.
I hate you. I never saw Nirvana. Never saw Nirvana.
Yeah.
Saw all the others. Never
Nothing
saw
Nothing like seeing them in a little club, right?
Yeah.
So my family's still all in Missoula and it's always in my heart and I go back there a lot and you also have family there. And so it just, I don't remember when we, was it 2018 when we, it's like a year after I started, I joined you. It was like 2018 when the little tendrils in our brain started working as to, hey, maybe we should do the Missoula.
We really had to do a hard sell on that.
Yeah, we did. We had to pitch it to the, because we knew that there was so many filmmakers there and we knew that there was a budding film community and but there wasn't a lot of opportunities for filmmakers.
We pretty much had it all planned, but I since you were new and kind of an unknown quantity to HQ, I really had to do a hard sell on Mark and Christina and Liz to make it go.
Right.
That was a hard sell.
That was, but they agreed to do it. And we did it and it was tough because it was really hard.
Gave up so many times.
Yeah. I think what we quickly realized is that, I mean, I knew this because I grew up there. Montana's a big state and the filmmakers are in hubs. You know, they're not just in Seattle, right? And even in Washington, there's filmmakers, but everything's not that far. I mean, Montana's such a huge state and the filmmakers were in every corner of it.
Yeah.
And the way that we had the 48 set up is you had to have a representative there for drop off. And you had, and one of the things that we did do was they were allowed to have a representative, you know, an admin representative on their team that as long as they were in Missoula for the drop off to pick up all their assignments for the competition, they could compete. So we had a team from Billings and we had a team from Bozeman and we had a team from Hamilton and we had teams from Missoula. And, you know, so
that's all the team.
We did ultimately end up with 9 teams. We had 10 and then one dropped out or something. Yeah. We ended up with 9 teams and we decided
on time, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. If we could get that happening, we could make that go. And I mean, we had James from Stevensville who was in high school. He put together his team and they did a really good job. You know, so it was tough and we almost gave up and we almost canceled it because it was just really hard to reach the filmmakers because they were so spread out and we just could not go to every corner of the state to try to get it rolling. So And then we had our first one and then the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, everything. We just sort of, so we combined. So any of the Montana filmmakers that wanted to participate in the Seattle, which we did have a couple of them do, a couple of teams do.
Two Hamilton teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Two Hamilton teams, you know, did well, did extremely well. Both of them won awards and everything. Yeah. So, and then we just realized how difficult that is. And kind of started rethinking the whole, maybe we should rename it the Montana 48 Hour Film Project.
Yeah.
We had a great meeting with the Montana Film Commissioner, Allison.
She's great.
Who's amazing and really supportive of us, and getting ready to start getting back in touch with her and launching this. And we've rethought our strategy. And
Of the technology that came out.
Because of the technology. So now, you know, the filmmakers from all across the state can digitally attend the kickoff and the drop off, and you can be from anywhere in the state, and you don't, we are planning on doing in the major cities in the Billings, Bozeman and Missoula areas, and potentially Kalispell. We haven't got it completely worked out yet. We do plan to do networking and filmmaker meetups to do a little bit of networking for people to find their teams, but, and filmmakers, but everything's going to be digital. So,
and then hopefully kind of the dream is to have screenings in Billings, Bozeman, and Missoula.
Exactly. So whoever all the teams will get screened three times, actually.
Yeah.
In Billings, in Bozeman, and in Missoula. So we're working on putting things together with the colleges and, you know, the filmmakers to do some presentations and whatnot here in the next couple months. The Missoula is at the end of June this year.
Montana.
I'm sorry, did I say Missoula?
Yeah. It's an old
one. Great. My mom, who lives in Lolo, is just texting me. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's another thing that came out of the pandemic is really allowing us to be able to rethink.
Yeah, I don't think we'd have even thought of doing that.
If the pandemic didn't happen, absolutely. It's like,
I don't think we'd have thought of it.
Virtual. Yeah.
I think we would have eventually just kind of hit a wall in Missoula.
Yeah.
And maybe given up because, you know, it's... Even though we love going out there, both of us love going out there, it's a bit of a hike.
Yeah, exactly.
500 miles.
Yeah. So if the filmmakers don't have to participate, don't have to, you know, to do that, to come out with me, you know, I think that's a good formula for success. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think it'll still be low this year because everybody's still getting back into the swing of things. And they'll, you know, for both Seattle and Montana, you know, is, I think still people are, I think we're still going to have a little bit of a lag in representation for teams. But I think that in 2023 is probably just going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
So 2022 is sort of our rebuilding year, I think, for both.
Yeah.
And kind of looking forward to seeing what pans out there. And yeah, we'll see.
Well, we have two production assistants who can help us at the screenings.
Yes.
Got my niece and nephew.
Yeah. See? That's what you do, people. You put your family to work. You get free labor.
And James just got his license so he can drive. Yeah. And I won't feel nervous letting him drive my car because he was taught by my brother. My brother's a great driver. And my brother was taught by the best, by my grandpa and my dad. So,
by the way, all Montana drivers are much better drivers than drivers in Washington.
So
drivers in Washington can go to hell because they suck.
No, every time I go to Montana, it's like, okay, I feel safer on the road here.
And go figure, because once you cross the state line, it's like you can pretty much go as fast as you want. It's kind of like,
well, just that stretch. So Missoula's at the 100 mile mark of I-90 once you get into Montana. Since I've been driving there, oh man, I have seen one state trooper.
Yeah.
And I think that was on my last drive out there coming home.
Right.
I was going like 95.
Yeah.
On the stretch between Missoula and Frenchtown.
Right.
Like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Well, back in the day when I was in high school. Yes, I sped when I was in high school. Back in the day, it's like when I would drive because and when I was in college, when I was going to school in Seattle and I would drive back home, I would go 100, whatever, right? And if they caught you, it used to be, they wouldn't write you a ticket. You just paid them $20.
Oh, that's not a bad deal.
And you were done. You didn't even get a ticket. They were just like, ah. So it's like, I think it went to the beer fund, after work beer fund.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that any of that money was documented. And in retrospect, I'm like, was that legal what they used to do? Because I remember there, you just had to have some 20s with you if you were going to speed.
It's a lot less of a hassle for everyone involved.
Exactly. There's no paperwork.
Exactly.
Yeah. Goodness. And now, for those of you who can see, my dog is licking my face because it is 5 o'clock and
he is
militant about his food. Like, he thinks food's going to come out of my mouth. Will he?
That's like our cats at 7.
Yeah.
They all come stalking out.
Yeah.
Like,
he's like militant, jackals. 7 a.m. And I have to, the whole thing, light savings time, right? It's like,
yeah,
he's not having any of it. So I usually,
they don't recognize it.
7 a.m. and 4 p.m. He's like, so it's like, I try to make him wait until 8. And he's like,
no,
I've adjusted already. 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. You're not going to try to make me wait to 8 to 5. But all I have to say to you, William, is in another year, it's not going to ever change again, supposedly, right?
Oh.
It'll just be dark until 9 a.m., apparently. That's all.
That's fine. I'm glad it's going to stay on this side.
Yeah.
Of the switch. I prefer having a sun a little later.
Yeah.
And if, you know, Kasha's driving into work, she'll see some sunlight on her drive.
Right. Right.
Instead of going to work in the dark, coming back in the dark.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if that actually, I think. It's the one thing that our elected officials could unanimously agree on.
Well, we haven't gotten to the House yet, and
that's where the real
nut jobs are. But, well, hey, we're at an hour, so.
We're at an hour. We could chat forever.
Well, yeah, we will again.
You'll tell me all the gossip from behind when we get off. No, I'm just kidding. There's always gossip when you go on a road trip, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's that was the other thing that I wanted to say quickly about Rotterdam was just that the opportunity to sort of also combine it with a little vacation, which I think a lot of people do, you know, and Lane went with me and we did, you know, Amsterdam and we tooled through the Netherlands and we went to Austria and we spent time in Germany and, you know, it was just really great to be able to go over there and, you know, see something else. So we left a little early and you left a week early and just did some vacationing. So that's always
travel makes you better.
I agree. Like, so here's to a successful 2022 for Seattle and for Montana. I can't wait to dive in and see all the filmmakers' faces and, you know, see what creative, beautiful things they come up with.
See what the next stage of evolution in Montana filmmaking is.
Exactly. I'm excited. They've got a lot of stuff going on. We'll see, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get on the ground floor of also being there, helping to be their training opportunities.
Exactly.
Their filmmakers too. So
well, that's
super cool talking to you.
As
always, my partner in crime. It's been a fun. What was it? Did I join officially in 2018?
2018, yeah. That's when you signed the papers.
That's when I signed the paperwork. That's when I signed my firstborn child away. Oh, there goes my dog. He hears me whenever I have a Zoom meeting. He's like, okay, she's saying that G-O-O-D-B-Y-E word. That means F-O-O-D will be coming next. And he's it's very crazy. So.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to digging in and doing Montana and Seattle.
Exactly. It was great talking to you, buddy.
I'm sure I'll probably talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye, y'all. So it really doesn't matter what you look like, say or do.
I know that I had a cooler weekend than you. 48 Hour Heroes Origin Stories is a production of Media Without Borders and the Seattle 48 Hour Film Project.